Good morning to each of y'all, and I'd like to greet you in Christ's name. You know, with everything going on in the world today, you feel almost guilty just getting up and going to Sunday morning service like normal. Because there's a lot of people, or I say a lot, but there's some people in Ukraine that didn't have that opportunity this morning. Those people need our prayers. That's not what the message is about this morning. It's just something that struck me this morning. To me, it's a normal day. I get to go to work tomorrow. I got a place to sleep tonight. But that's not true for everybody. We need to count our blessings. It is the world we live in. The Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. All right. For a message this morning, I'm preaching a message that I don't feel like I have any right to preach, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm going to preach mostly to us dads this morning. Dads. And I'm going to preach mostly to, it's probably going to sound like I'm preaching mostly to dads with little boys. And I'm not cutting out dads with little girls or dads with youth or anything like that. It's just, this is my perspective. So that's how a lot of my studying came through. So just bear with me on that. So we have any bird lovers here this morning? People love birds? I love seeing the birds in the spring and hearing them chirp. And birds are great. I might not like them as much as Vernon, but I like birds. But there's one bird out there that I have no desire to ever see in its natural habitat. I like it. I'll go look at it at the zoo, but you will not catch me traveling out to where this bird lives just to see it, watch it. Anybody want to guess what that is? Any of you children, what's a big bird that you can think of? Zach, an eagle, that is a big bird. I like to watch eagles. This is one bird I'm not going to watch, though. Any of you adults want to guess? Penguin. I will never go see the penguins, ever. I can't hardly handle an Arkansas winter. How could I handle that? So we're going to talk about penguins this morning. I have a For you children, I have a grainy picture of a penguin. I don't have a color copier, but they're mostly black and white anyway. But that's what a penguin looks like. Pretty sleek looking creature, isn't he? He could almost be a Mennonite with his white shirt and suit coat on, couldn't he? They're a pretty bird. A very pretty bird. But they live in some awfully harsh environment. Anybody know where they live? Any of you children or school-age children? Titus's oldest boy? Antarctica. That's right. They live in the Antarctica, which is on the South Pole. It's very common to be negative 50 degrees there and very windy. If you read about some of the men that raced to the South Pole back in the early 1900s, the first guy there was a man by the name of Ronald Umsden. He was the one that actually won the race there. He just beat a British man by the name of Robert Scott. And both men, if you read their stories, had awful times getting there. And for Scott, some of Robert Scott's men, they died on the way back. They made it to the pole, but they died on the way back due to cold and some poor decisions that they made in trying to use horses instead of dogs. Little things like that was the reason that they died on the way back. Anyway, the South Pole, where these penguins lived, it would be kind of neat to say you had been there. Kind of. Every direction on the South Pole is north. Isn't that interesting? It'd be kind of fun to watch the compass go crazy because it wouldn't know which way north is. But I'm not going to go there. Like I said earlier, I'm not going to go there. The emperor penguins there, they can just stay there and I'll look at pictures of them. Or I'll go to the zoo and look at them. And I will tell you this, if you do decide to go on a trip to the South Pole, you're going to need more than a jacket and a sipple cup. You will. It's cold there. But penguin dads, so let's think about penguins for a little bit. You children, again, how do they... A penguin's a bird, so how do they reproduce? Any of you know? What would a penguin come out of? Bailey? An egg. So we have these penguins living in the coldest part of the world, one of the coldest parts, and they come out of an egg. And what does it take to make an egg hatch? Kyle? Warm. You got to keep it warm. So why would you, if you're a bird like this, why would you pick the Antarctica? I mean, wouldn't you head for the Sahara Desert or somewhere where it's warm? It seemed to me it'd be a lot of work to hatch eggs out there. But they've been out there for many years and they've been doing just fine. And as far as the land in the Antarctica, do you think there's straw and leaves and hay and whatever else to build your nest out of? There's none of that there. It's ice and there's rocks. Maybe a little frozen dirt. I don't know. It's not nest building material. So I know this probably isn't new information to y'all that know anything about penguins. I didn't know a whole lot about them until I read some of these books. But they have kind of an unusual hatching process. So what happens is mama penguin lays the egg, gives it to daddy penguin, and then mama penguin is not such a good mama. She turns around and she hits the ocean for 4 months, leaving dad here holding this egg. Dad and all the other dads that got abandoned with this newly laid egg. They leave for 4 months. They get fat on fish with all their lady friends out in the ocean. And meanwhile, dad penguin's back there with this new egg, him and all his dad buddies, and they're stuck for 4 months and they're supposed to hatch this thing in the cold all by themselves. Anybody know how a penguin holds its egg? On its feet, that's right. They hold it on their feet, and they have kind of a little bit of a pouch they put it into. And they can't even walk properly for the hatching process is 65 to 75 days. So in that length of time, they can't even walk properly because of the way they hold it on their feet. They can't go hunt food, so they don't eat for this length of time. It's almost 4 months. They live off the body fat they stored up. Some of them are so desperate for something to hold. If something happens to an egg, they will almost go desperately crazy trying to find something to put in its place. And sometimes they'll try to incubate a lump of ice or a rock or whatever if they lose their egg. They're desperate for something to hatch. And finally, about the time that the chick hatches and comes out of its shell, guess who shows back up? A very well-fed, plump mama. And she proceeds to go ahead and just take away the chick from dad. And dad don't like it too good because he's been hanging on to this thing for 4 months taking care of it. He's been starving himself taking care of it. But guess what? Mama's bigger because she's been eating for 4 months, so she wins the battle. And so the penguin species continue. So, what can we learn from penguins this morning? One thing we know about a dad penguin is they absolutely love their offspring. They will starve themselves for the protection of the egg, and they will watch other penguins drop an egg, and they will be quick to pick up the slack and get it off the ice as quick as they can. And another thing we know about them is when it's time for them to let go, they let go even if they don't want to. So we're going to talk about that. If I had a text verse this morning, And I will. I don't have a lot of scripture to read. Towards the end, I'll have a passage of scripture I'll read. But if I had a text verse this morning, it would probably be Deuteronomy 6, 7, verse 7 and 8. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and they shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." So if I had a title for the message this morning, I'd title it Penguin Dads. We have a dad crisis in America today, and it's sad. It's very sad. We have selfish dads who think mostly of themselves, and they're scared they're going to miss out on the fun part of life if they have a family to take care of. They don't want the burden of a family. And it's a problem. And I'm not saying this morning that if you're not a dad, you're not a valuable person. That is not at all what this message is about. But what I'm saying is, my goal for this message is, if you are a dad this morning, to take our job seriously. God put a heavy responsibility on us as dads. It seems like the normal, if you listen to community folks and you pay much attention to what's going on out there, it's so unfortunate, but dad hangs around and he's there until he finds out there's a baby on the way, and then he's gone. He's signed over all his rights, he'll leave. He don't want to be involved. He don't want to be burdened down. And it's a terrible thing for society. We have so many homes that the children are growing up in without a dad. And I grew up in a home without a dad. That's not the kind of situation I'm talking about. It's entirely different if you grow up in a home without a dad because of what happened in my growing up life. That's totally different than dad finding out there's a baby on the way and he's gone. Totally different. And I'm not preaching this message because I see such a problem of dads running off in church here. That's not at all. I'm just saying, for what I've seen in the community and some of the set of problems we have in the society, that some of those problems stem from the problem of dad not being willing to take his responsibility. And if God called us to be a dad this morning, we better take our responsibility pretty seriously, because we only get one shot at it in this life. That's why I need God's help and the help of y'all to help me. It's encouraged me in life. It is so encouraging to see dads that care for their young ones coming on. They actually care. And I think that's more of the norm in this church. That is the norm in this church, and I very much appreciate that. Little children and family, I'm not telling y'all anything new here this morning, but they're hard work. It's hard work to raise a family. It's not easy. They have ways of testing every little... Yeah, they can be a real trial at days. Other days they make you pretty proud, but I mean, sometimes they can wear you to a frazzle. So I just have a whole bunch of points that I'm going to run down over. Y'all just bear with me. On how I can improve as a dad, and maybe y'all can listen in and learn too. Point number one I have, and this is so basic, but it needs to be at the root of us if we're going to have any success in parenting. And at the very root of it is an absolute love for God. If we don't have that, we're not going to be able to pass love on to our children. Love comes from God. It's from Him that we learn how to love. If we have a love for God and His Word, we will naturally pass that on to our family and others. So I'm just briefly going to mention that point, but I'm not mentioning it briefly because it's not important. I think it's one of the most important things for us dads to learn. We have got to have a love for God and His Word. That has to be the very base of what we build our family life on. Point number two, love your children's mother. You know how many, it is so sad to see a home, you see these homes where there's conflict between mom and dad in the home. And the children know that. They know that, and that is it seems like they just can put a wedge in there and drive mom and dad even further apart. It's not hard to love your wife in a newly married stage. It's not even hard for me to love my wife now. But what can happen to me, and it does happen to me, is life just rolls along, and I start taking my wife for granted, and I start overlooking all the little things that she does for me. Don't do that, husbands. Don't do that. Keep your love for your wife fresh. Most women like to know that they're the apple of their husband's eye. Don't make sure she knows that and keep her that way. And your children will know if you love and cherish your wife. And you know what? They'll like it too. They will like it. It doesn't matter if your youngsters see you give your wife a hug before you go to work. That's good for them. Let your children see your love for each other. Think about this. Someday your children, they might grow up and get married. And would you wish the same marriage on them that you have? Would you be all right with that? And if the answer to that is no or not really, well, then you better work on your marriage, because your children will learn how to be married from how they see mom and dad do it. So if you want to wish the best marriage you possibly can on your children, have the best marriage you can right now with your wife. All right, the third point is very obvious. Love your children. Love them like a penguin does, and be willing to do anything to protect them, especially the young ones. They need a lot of protection from the world. Sometimes I can tend to think that they're in the way, or I can't get my stuff done if I have to help take care of them, or I could do it a lot more efficiently without them. They're slowing me down. But your children shouldn't ever get the idea that they're in the way with you. They're your children. You brought them into this world, so love them the best and raise them the best that you can. Moms are usually better at doing that than involving children with work and things than what dads are. At least that's how it is in my home. I like to, if I'm going to do something, let's go get it done. Let's just go. Let's not be slowed down here. But sometimes I need to slow down and I need to take my boy with me. It's no better time for him to learn. Do we fiercely guard what we let into our house? Do we fiercely guard against the devil, and do we promote God in the house? How much do we do that? It's amazing the little prayers that your three-year-old can pray. And sometimes I wonder if maybe God, I know God hears every word that he prays. And sometimes you about can't help but laugh. But I had a little niece, I won't mention her name. Y'all would know her. But she was quite young. I don't know, she was probably 5 or 6. She got if I remember the story right, a scooter for her birthday. And she was praying that night, and she said, "Lord, thanks for the scooter, but I really wish it would have been a bike." You can't come up with, I don't know what God thinks of that, but that's pretty humorous. All right, moving on. What about selfish with our time? So it's pretty easy for me to hop in the truck and go to work every 5 days a week or whatever. And I can more or less shut off my family. I mean, I'm still there. They can reach me on the phone. And I can kind of justify that because I have to provide. But I can go to work and I can hang out with my coworkers that I enjoy hanging out with and see my friends. And and all that, and that's all right and good. I'm not saying that's wrong. But what about when I come home? Am I still in the mode of not worrying about my family? So when I'm at work, I don't worry much about my family. They're in fine. Two little boys are in fine care at home. But when I come home, am I willing to turn back on, if you want to say it that way, and be a dad and help take care of the youngsters? It bothers me a little bit sometimes, and I don't see it so much here, but I see it sometimes that dads are so obsessed with their tree stand after work during hunting season, or they're so worried about their whatever, their hobbies, their projects. So they go to work and they're there all day long, and they come home and they still can't turn on and be dad. They either hit the deer stand or they hit the shop or whatever. Is that me? Sometimes that is me. A little bit like Joe preached last Sunday. If you can take your boy to the deer stand and build a relationship there, that's one thing. But if you have to hit it all by yourself and you can never take your boy with you, something about that bothers me. So don't be selfish with your time, dads. Sometimes moms need a day off too with their friends. Something to think about. Two words, moving on here, two words that can get kind of old at my house. Daddy watch. Do y'all ever hear that? Daddy watch. Daddy watch. And sometimes the young man needs to be told to stop showing off, stop showing off and just sit down. Sometimes that does happen. But really what they're wanting, they just want your approval. That they want to know that you see what they're doing and that you approve of them. Someday when they get older, they may not care so much for your approval. I think they will. We'll cover that a little bit later. But if you can't pay attention to them when they're little, how are you going to expect to pay attention to them when they're old and give them what they need? Here's a little scenario. I didn't come up with this, but it's what we as parents can tend to do if we're not careful. So age 1 to 8, you pitch them a ball and they catch it, and we praise them and we tell them to do it again, and good job, attaboy. You caught the ball. Age 8 to 16, they start doing really well at some things. And we tell them to quit bragging, not be so proudful, and basically we push them down just a little bit. Come age 35, they're out and they're doing well with their job or their work, and they get promoted. In this guy's scenario, he used the word to vice president of the company. And then the dads will tell them, if you were really smart like me, you'd start your own business. Become a businessman like me. At age 40, you have a respected man in the community that isn't quite living a life like dad envisioned him when he was a little boy, but he still never heard what he wants the most, approval from his dad. So when they're real little, it's not hard for me to tell my boy right now, good job. It's not hard for me to tell him, good job, let's go do it again. But what about when he gets older? And I've seen men go through this stage. When the boys are little, it's easy to praise them. Don't forget to praise them when they're older either. Even if you're... If you have a son that's living a victorious Christian life, speaking to you older fathers now, encourage him. The encouragement of a father can be such a blessing to his children, even teenage children. Don't underestimate the power of that. We dads had better let our children know that they're important to us and that we appreciate them. And I know, I've been a teenager. Probably sometimes teenagers can come across that they don't care. They don't care what my mom or dad thinks. They're just going to mom and dad don't care, whatever. That's not quite true. They do care what mom and dad think, even if they don't act like it. And just continuing on there a little bit, I see, and it's sad, but you see full-grown men sometimes in life that are still searching for that approval from dad. And dad never will tell them, good job. Why is that? You know how when you're in town sometimes, maybe on a warm summer day, and you see somebody drive by, and it's a tricked out truck or car, and there's loud music thumping from the windows. Okay, you look over and you kind of expect to see a teenager or whatever. Well, sometimes you look over there and it's a full-grown man that really knows better. I mean, what are you trying to prove? I just had to wonder how many times that's a little boy coming out of a full-grown man still looking for approval from dad or somebody or something. Just something to think about. Let your children know, no matter how old they are, that they are loved unconditionally. You just might save them a lot of trouble in the future. Kind of along with that, too, I heard a story. So my dad's not living anymore, but for you, if y'all's that have dads that are still alive, we don't know everything that happened to dad in his youth. So sometimes dad might respond in a way that seems totally bizarre, but he shouldn't have done it that way, but it's because of something that happened back in his youth. And the man told a story that he was growing up and he had his own paper route with a pedal bike so he had his own little wad of spending cash, and a bike tire went flat on his bike. And dad was at work, so what did he do? He went to the store and he got a new bike tire and he put the tire on the bike. Dad come home and he found out about this and he give the boy a whooping. Now, why? The first thought in your mind is, come on, dad. He paid for it with his own money. His tire was flat. That's just wrong of you, dad. And I'm not saying that was right of that dad to give that boy a whooping. But this man that was telling the story was saying years later he went back with his dad to his family farm, where the dad was raised by a widowed mom with a bunch of children during the Depression days. And he realized the reason his dad gave him a whooping that day for putting a new tire on his bike was because he viewed it as frivolous spending. You don't put a new tire on a bike. You patch it. You make do with you. Am I making sense? You don't just put new stuff on. You always patch the old. And at that moment, he realized why his dad gave him a whooping. Now, I don't think it was right for that dad to do that. But understand that sometimes your dads might make decisions or do things that while they're not right, it was something that came from their youth. So just something for us grown-ups to think about, that maybe dad has, there is some reasons why dad does things the way he does. All right, moving on. Own your mistakes. All of us are humans and we make mistakes. James 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all." And then 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." So own it when you make a mistake, dads. It's no fun to be around anybody that never can take any responsibility for anything that ever goes wrong, no matter what. And we sometimes, us men, me especially, view apologizing as a sign of weakness. Don't do that to your children. Don't do that to your children. Apologizing, it should be more of a way of life, and we all make mistakes. Let's just pick up and move on. There's some things we can't control as dads. We can't control what happened in Ukraine, and now the price of gas might go up. But we do control a lot more in our home than what we would like to think we do. So own it. Something else to think about is don't always think you have to have the absolute best of everything. And that's kind of scary for me to say because I like new stuff that works. I sure do. But if everything I always had, everything that I buy always has to be top brand, brand new, and have the latest tech gadget or whatever it may be, I could be setting up my son for a world of heartache for when he gets older. Because guess what? He gets to live in my house, and so if everything I always have is new and the best, that's what he's used to and that's what he grows up with. Guess what? Youngster's going to grow up someday, and he's going to move out of my house, and he's going to need to go shopping for some stuff for life. And he's going to go to town, and there's going to be somebody, he's going to think he has to have the best because this is what Dad always had. And there will always be somebody at every store with a payment plan for whatever he needs to buy, be it a truck or a whatever it is. So am I, by thinking I always have to have the absolute best of everything, am I setting up my boy for a world of heartache later? Or does he realize, you know what? Sometimes you can make do with used. Your boys are watching how you spend your money and what kind of stuff you buy. They sure are. And boys need to understand too, on the flip side, that when they grow up and they leave home, mom and dad had a 20 or 30 year head start on them. So they don't get to start right where mom and dad left off. There is two sides to that equation. All right, moving on. Don't underestimate the power of the little things. You know, it really doesn't take much to make a three-year-old's day. A lot of times it's easy to think it's stuff and it's toys, and he looks... It's amazing the things that they can look through catalogs and, Dad, can I have this, or... can we get one of these? And you think sometimes it's the things and the stuff that is what they really need. That's not true. Joe preached about time last Sunday. And guess what? That's what they want from you too, dads. They want your time. Don't be too big to run races with them or color pictures with them or whatever it is. Talk to them about what interests you. And let them, you know the interests of your little boys. Talk to them about it. Just the most mundane little details. They really don't, their little imaginations can work. Don't be too big to talk to them about what you did at work that day. A lot of times my three-year-old will ask me exactly what I did at work that day or how many barns I put on the trailer or just what I would consider the most boring little details. Don't squelch those little conversations. Get on their level and talk to them about it. That or they want to, their mind's just getting, the oldest one's just getting old enough to want to hear stories about from when I was a little boy or when mom was a little girl. Well, tell them stories. It can be the most boring, basic story, and they will sit there with big eyes and listen. It's amazing. All right, we're going to read out of Luke yet. I want to read, I'm not going to make a whole lot of comments. I just want to read this story of a very excited father. Luke 1. 67 through 80. We had a very excited dad here for a bunch of different reasons. I'm just going to read that passage quickly here. And his father, Zacharias, this was John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham. And he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him. And thou, child, shalt be called prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. This was Zacharias, and he was one very excited dad. It might be because he just got his speech back and his tongue got untied. And he could talk again instead of having to write everything down. That was maybe one of the reasons. But he was excited, I think mostly because his son was the forerunner of Jesus. He was he was going to go before Jesus and prepare the way. He was very excited about that, but he was also an old man. That this was his first child. This was his only child, his first child, and you can almost see it as you read down through there. He's excited about life. He's ready to go. He was singing and praising God, and you know what? Nearly everything in there that he was so happy about, we still have reason to be happy about today. He was talking about Jesus and the plan of salvation and the joy that that brought to him. We can still be happy about that today. He was happy about the joy of this new child. He was just excited. I remember I was too when my first one was born. That was exciting. Am I still as excited to be raising them today as I was on that first day? I need to be. So I guess my challenge to you this morning is, if God called you to be a father, do it with a happy smile no matter the stage in your life. And don't underestimate the power of being an encouraging dad for your children. Don't underestimate it. It's a real thing your children want to hear from you. That's all I have this morning. Why don't we kneel for a prayer?